There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Sarah.
It's me.
And that guy's Chris.
Hello.
Now, does it irritate you if you're really into something that no one else seemingly appreciates? Does it baffle you that people cannot see what you see sometimes? Or have you recently discovered something that you can't believe you went so long without knowing about? Today, we're answering this question. What things in life are underrated?
All right, I'm going to go straight in with one.
Get in there.
Dive in.
I think giving up is underrated.
Quitting.
Quitting.
What a start.
So, I think it's really good to be able to stick to stuff. I think tenacity
is a
great... Yeah, if you can make it through 40 years...
Ride it out.
Uh-huh. 40 a day, great. No, I do. I think it's great to stick to things, but sometimes I actually think it's better to give up.
Knowing when to quit, perhaps, is what you meant to say. Or you just say quitting in general?
I stand by it. I'm not saying it's blanket a good thing, but I'm saying it's underrated.
Okay.
Because people like to say, never quit, never give in. And sometimes quitting is the right thing to do. So an example of this. Now, I was brought up in a family where my parents brought us, never quit, never ever quit. And
look at the gold medals hanging behind her head on the wall.
Yeah. It wouldn't be where I am by quitting.
Exactly.
But no, so I had, in between my first and second year of university, I got a summer job. I was working in a hotel and I could probably see them in retrospect, but it's probably a bit late. I really badly hurt my back whilst trying to carry a mattress. Like, it was really painful and it's never quite been right since. But I...
What job were you doing?
Cleaning rooms and
changing, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Moving mattresses around.
it's hard physical work. It really was. So I was in a lot of pain and I went for another few days and it was getting worse and worse and worse and I couldn't sleep. And I kept thinking, oh, I shouldn't quit. Quitting, it's bad. I'll be seen as weak. And in the end, I walked in one morning and I just like burst into tears I told the manager and she just basically said like, look, you can keep going if you want, but I don't think it's a good idea. And so I did. I just went, okay, in that case, I'm going to quit.
Yeah. I think it's a good start, actually.
Did you long for the days of the paint mixing shop?
Oh, I did. I tried to cut some keys again. Yeah. I used to work in an ironmongers, if you haven't heard me talk about that before.
No, I think that's a good point. You're right. People just think, you've got to keep on going. You have to conquer it. And actually, sometimes, but you're right. I think people don't realise that, no, that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes like it's just not healthy to keep going with things. You hear about people who they find, they're doing university course and it's just the wrong thing. They've just picked the wrong thing. Now, there is a time to stick at it. Absolutely. But I just think sometimes you just know it's not the right thing. And
there's some things that you shouldn't quit, like
parenting.
Fatherhood, yeah, exactly. being responsible, that's paying your taxes. But, unless you move to Monaco or somewhere, but you have an option there. But, you're right. I think that's interesting. And I'm sort of on a slightly similar point that I've just sort of thought when you say that, something that's underrated, finishing second.
Yeah.
Silver medal, very respectable.
It's funny, I said that, and initially I was like, no, but then I know what your point is, and you're right. The initial reaction is, nah.
Well, I think maybe in this country, I think finishing second is quite rated when it comes to the Olympics, because actually we do celebrate. You know, if anybody's on the podium. I remember, forget who it was. It was a team perhaps or something. They'd made it to the Olympic final of a particular sport, and I remember the reporter interviewing them going, "You're in the final, silver medal in the bag." That's how it was presented. And I remember thinking, they wouldn't say that in America, would they?
No.
Chance of a gold. You're going for gold. That's what it would be. So maybe second. No, but a good start though. I didn't think we were going to go there. Well done, Sarah. Excellent. Chris, what about you? Persevering?
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair, yeah. Underrated.
Very much so. Yeah, a slightly controversial.
Love that.
Especially the way how
just a few more years in the Middle East. Just a few more years. It'll sort itself out.
I did think about this beforehand and I was like, was he underrated? And then I did a bit of research beforehand. I was like, yeah, I think he is underrated. I don't think we'll have a prime minister like that again for quite some time. In terms of brought peace to Northern Ireland, minimum wage, built lots of schools and all that sort of stuff. And he's remembered for going into Iraq, which was not a good decision. I hasten to add. But I think on the whole, as a local prime minister went, not in thinking about his international policies, did a fine job.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you, but that's not... That's just in light of recent politics in this country without getting too political. I do sort of think, oh, yeah, but then maybe I'm just looking for a bit more stability. But Sarah, what about you? What do you think of that?
Go on, say something brave.
His legacy is blighted by Iraq, and that's understandable.
I think that really, really ruined it all for him. And I do wonder if, you know, we're looking at it with hindsight now, looking at the political situation that we've been in over the past however many years.
Since he left office, maybe?
Well, yes. I guess I'm thinking especially the last 18 months or so, which I think it's probably fair to say there have been some very bad decisions made, whatever side of the political spectrum you sit on. And so it's quite easy to look back with rose-tinted glasses. Also, I've got to be honest, I was a child when Tony Blair was a prime minister, so I probably... remember it with a slightly different...
I was a young adult. I think, and also on the Iraq thing, and again, I tread carefully with this, but I know
War's underrated, isn't it, Chris?
Don't put the words in my mouth. I know a lot of Kurds. Like, I used to work with a lot of Kurds, and they were very happy about the Iraq.
Really?
Yeah, about the Tony Blair, backing Bush going into Iraq. So, and again, I said, I'm not for it. But they were just like, I think it was 100,000 Kurds massacred under Saddam Hussein or something. And they were like, we are pleased about Tony Blair.
So what's going on here? Like, I don't mean to make light of that sentence that you just said, but things underrated. Like, I'm thinking like bounty bars. You're going on about like genocide in the Middle East. What's happened here?
I just think Tony Blair
was
underrated.
That's the beauty of this podcast. We can take you to Iraq and then quickly back to bounty bars.
I tell you what.
You don't come here for one specific thing, do you?
I'll give you a lighter one, Marcus.
Please.
A good pillow.
I think that is underrated. I think that's rated, because if you get a bad pillow, people moan. People are aware if it's not right.
I've discovered recently, I thought I had a bad back. I didn't. I just had the wrong pillow. And now since I've got a good pillow, my back sorted itself right out.
There you go.
Marcus, I know you said, you know, a lot of people go on about it, but I actually am not sure that's true, because I'm thinking like, my partner can kind of sleep on most pillows.
Yeah.
He, you know, I know quite a few people who can just, they can like sleep on the bare floor. Whereas if I don't have the exact perfect kind of pillow I want, then it's game over. Like, I'm not going to go to sleep. And they think I'm a massive princess. And maybe I am, actually, as I'm saying it.
It's a little bit underneath.
Royalty is underrated, perhaps. Certainly not in this country.
Marcus.
An animals taking an interest you in a non-threatening way. It's extremely underrated. Have you ever had a greeting from an animal?
Oh, where it like comes up and gives you a hand.
Good
a
day, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Specifically an English
speaking. How do you know?
Specifically a member of the aristocracy speaking animal.
Squirrel in a top hat with a monocle. Oh, hello, Marcus.
this is, you know, when you... yeah, when you take certain substances, this thing sort of stuff happens. That's obviously not true. Drugs are bad, etc. No. As it, when you get a greeting, especially usually a dog, it's usually a dog. Mm. It's a wonderful thing, and I think some people don't appreciate that, because I may have mentioned this in the podcast before. It's unlikely that I have. When you walk into a room, there are other adults there. You are completely and utterly obliged to say hello to that person or give a sort of greeting. Of course, sometimes as a friend and you know them and you know all that, or you want to meet somebody new, etc. But there is sometimes there's a level of obligation. Whereas an animal, there is zero obligation for an animal, and I think it's a real privilege when an animal
they've chosen
completely. Complete. They may have. You could say, "Oh, they've been trained in that way." Yeah, maybe, but they still don't have to.
And also, they say, like, you know, animals can be quite a good judge of character. Well, they can pick up on like bad vibes. So when an animal comes over and greets you, it's like almost like a seal of approval. Like
it is.
You're a good.
Are we talking dogs? Because I reckon they've not just been dogs socialized to realize we're higher in
cats,
the pecking order.
Cats are even better because cats are quite. Yeah. Standoffish. So if a cat chooses to come and sit on your lap, it's like, yes.
There is also a thing here that, again, why does anybody do anything, animals included? 90% of the time, it's probably for your own selfish, ultimately a selfish thing, right? So if an animal does come up to you, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because some of these things are basic survival. But talking of that, an animal may come up to you because it thinks you've got food. So a seagull coming up to you if you're eating chips, you know, it's not like, oh, you're just so lovely and friendly, the seagulls around here. Yeah, I get the fact that there's a bit of cause and effect here. Yeah. However, I still like the fact that animal trusts me to be giving them something that's not going to kill them. but on a more kind of impressive level, I think I was in Malta once upon a time. And a bird, not a sea, a regular bird, like a starling or I can't remember what it was. It may be a starling. I don't think Malta's too exotic to not have the same sort of birds that we do. Might have one or two different. My wife and I were sat at the table having dinner and it came up right there and I squirted water in my hand and it drank out of my hand. Isn't that incredible?
Like you were some kind of Disney princess.
Or prince. Not the artiste, you know. I was wearing a raspberry beret at the time, though. But it's true, because the only other time I've seen this was when I went to. I love this. I give me an opportunity, and it suddenly becomes a travel blog. The only other time I've seen this is in the Galapagos Islands, where obviously the animals are have been socialized in a different way, shall we say? But incredible. As well, on the Galapagos Islands, sea lions, they take an interest in you, they come up to you, they swim up to you.
Does a particular type of animal find you safe and attractive, Marcus? Like, do you think you have a way with squirrels? Then would they come up to you and say...
No, I think that they know that I'm disappointed in their ancestors killing off the red squirrels in this country. So I think that they're understanding.
Sense the disapproval.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yeah, you can come up, but I'm disgusted with your heritage, quite frankly. Okay.
Squirrel genocide.
Exactly.
Back to genocide.
Very prejudiced towards grey squirrels. Red squirrels, love them. Absolutely love them. But animals taking an interest in you in a non-threatening way would be
okay.
Fun.
Yeah, I can get
that is underrated, because if they were threatening, it changes the game, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so that's what you're saying. You know, like you know, if they came up to you and were trying to bite you or go for your neck, that's always a fear, isn't it?
Yeah,
things going for.
I'd
your
say
neck.
That's overrated. I really don't want an animal coming and doing that.
I don't think anybody's overrating that.
I'm rating that. Bad, no, and I think we're all rating it the same.
Yeah, I think, yeah, again, the rating on that is absolutely spot on. I'd like to throw in a superficial one as well. Again, I've gone for a sort of a, this is, I suppose there's a slight travelling theme with that, although I sort of pushed it into that realm, but weather reports from around the world. In fact, even to call it a weather report is to over-egg it. You know, at the end of the news when they do the weather and you see the map of the country and you see, you know, all the temperatures and the clouds and all. And then sometimes, once in a while, they'll not, more on like the world news channels, quite late at night, they'll suddenly just do the map of the world.
And,
like,
and they spin it round and you can see all like, the temperatures.
Show me the weather in Cairo. Go on, yeah, do it. Oh, hang on, I've got to know what's happening in Tokyo right now. I absolutely love it. I mean, it's so underrated. What? Look at that. It's 35 degrees in Buenos Aires. Do you know what I mean? I can't get enough of it. Don't know why. I think it just, I just think it like, it's like, hey, the way it just, I feel somewhat liberated.
You feel like a global citizen.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do.
To know what's going on with your brothers and sisters in, like, Lebanon.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
34?
In New Delhi, it's only 15 degrees and raining. I'm surprised at that. What do they think of that? Do you know what I mean?
Sarah, have you ever had this thought whilst watching the weather?
No.
Have you not?
No.
Okay. Sorry. But what about our listeners, Sarah? You put the question out to them. What have they... what do they think is underrated?
Marcus, it's interesting you talked about travel. There was such a massive travel theme.
Yeah.
So, right, I'll run through a few of them because there are lots. Okay. Jim says, when you get to the airport and get a gate that isn't all the way at the end of the terminal.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah.
Oh, so good. I don't know. I think it might be Stansted where the Ryanair flights go from.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You have to go through the entire thing. Nightmare. So when you don't, love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nailing traveling from one place to another, which is what Ross Wiltshire says. And he means, you know, if you're like, for example, on the London Underground, you line up the doors just right. So you get the door that's right by the exit, that's right by the stairs.
Yeah.
And you
just
judge it perfectly. That is a particular pleasure.
There's something about that. Obviously, the London Underground is a very vast underground train network. So if you've been doing your route for a while, you can know all the ins and outs of that, and it is a beautiful thing. You get off one carriage, you're straight up the stairs, down the other bank. Yeah,
feels so good.
Yeah, it's like having the keys to the city.
Ali says, arriving home from a trip, any trip.
Yeah. It's nice to go away, but it's nicer to come home.
I used
to
love that as a kid.
As a kid, yeah, when you got home, it was amazing.
Your own bed.
Feeling. Totally.
Yeah. Your own pillow.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And that mattress that you've dragged up the stairs and put your back out doing, Sarah.
Another Journey's End one. This was submitted by my partner, who said, doing a big wee after a car journey. And you know
true.
What? He's got a point.
Yeah.
When you reach that point where you're like, am I going to make it? I think I can make it. And then you get home and you're like, yes.
Empty that bladder.
Yeah. It's a feeling of satisfaction and relief. And that could have gone horrendously wrong.
Yeah, I've averted a crisis.
And there's so much less admin
and embarrassment
in spending a penny rather than spending tuppence, isn't there? So you can just, you get it done and then wash your hands, you're out.
Happy days. Yeah. You're done. And then the final travel one we got was from JH. She said, traveling solo. She said, it seems it's either seen as scary and intimidating or sad and lonely, when really it's freeing and full of meeting new people. Marcus, I feel like you're going to have a view on that.
Yeah, I think I am. And if you're surrounded by animals, then you're well away.
We're doffing their caps.
Yeah. Well, you sit down first, Marcus. I'm just a penguin on a train.
I'm making myself out to be like Ace Ventura or something. But no, I know what you mean. I think traveling, like if you've ever done long haul as well, which I have, I think there is something about that it's something that one wouldn't want to make a habit of doing, of course. And now I'm, you know, happily married. The thought of sort of flying on my own would be like, where's my wife? But there's definitely something about that there's that sort of freedom that as soon as you get your bags, you're away and you can explore. I get it. Totally.
And I guess they mean the same sort of thread as you, Marcus, like traveling for leisure other than business.
I would expect so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like going on holidays alone and that kind of thing. People do, you know, there's a certain amount of judgment around that saying, oh, you know, loner. But like, I've been away by myself.
You've been a loner.
I'm well known to be a loner. But no, it is. I think it is quite a freeing thing to do where it's kind of, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. You don't have to consider anyone else.
I've never done it.
I would have had you down as a solo holiday man.
He's scared.
Wimp.
He'll never do it.
The animals don't like me.
Well, that's the thing. You've got to get on side with all sorts here.
No, I did a bit of work travel. So I think I just found it a bit lonely. And I don't know if I'm that extroverted where I would go up and talk to people unless I really wanted to.
Oh, I'm a super introvert. So I spent my whole time just reading books alone.
Hoping someone else would come and talk to you.
Yeah, no, praying they wouldn't.
Oh, really?
Leave me alone. Okay. No, I'm here by myself.
I'm slightly on the introverted side of the spectrum, so I think that's the worst bit. So Marcus, you're extroverted. You're really good at talking to people.
Yeah, I think it's easier though when you're younger though to do this sort of thing. Maybe if you're a bit older, perhaps not. I don't know. But I think. Well, I interpret the question as the literal act of travel rather than holidaying on your own. And I think traveling on your own, getting on trains and planes or whatever it may be, on your own, I think is actually quite an enjoyable thing. I don't mind that at all. Going on holiday, yeah, I could see it. But like I say, as I've said before, we are sort of made to be in community and have relationships and so on. So I wouldn't make a habit of doing that. But I think once in a while is quite nice.
That's fair.
Yeah. Any, Chris, what about any other little sort of more silly ones that you've got stocked away there?
Yeah, escalator handrails going at the same pace as an escalator.
Yeah.
If they were at the wrong pace, then you'd fall over.
Yeah, very true.
That's underrated.
Yeah. Sometimes they are wrong.
and you start to like
it's all
your
go
arm
ahead,
just
don't they?
Pulls you ahead and you have to take your hand off. I mean, it's a whole nightmare taking your hand off.
Yeah, Sarah?
Okay, I've been waiting for the opportunity to talk about this on the podcast.
Here we go.
If you follow me on Twitter, you might see me talk about this.
Get comfy, get a pillow.
Oh my goodness. You know what is really underrated? Stitches.
What, as in like on your skin?
Yes.
What? Go on.
Because like people just like take stitches for granted. You know, if you're like...
I'm laughing at Marcus's face for all the listeners, by the way. He's just absolutely confused and slightly angry.
You fall over and you have to go to like A&E or whatever and... They like, and people always go, oh, do you have to have stitches? And oh, yeah, it's fine, whatever. So I've never had stitches until a couple of months ago when I had to have some. And honestly, it like blew my mind. It's so amazing that you can literally just get like, I mean, I know it's not just needle and thread, but you know, it's a glorified needle and thread. Stitch your skin back together after maybe removing a chunk of it. Or, you know, slicing it open. You can just sew it back together.
Yeah.
And your body is like, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. We'll take, yeah, we can fix this.
And they might dissolve or they go away.
They can dissolve.
Yeah, okay.
It's, and like, I just feel like people don't really acknowledge how amazing this is.
It's not the body that's underrated that fixes itself. It's the needle and thread that draws it together.
But like, it wouldn't do it without the stitch. And it's just the fact that like, we can.
You'd have a massive scar.
Do that.
Yeah.
They're underrated.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think, yeah, you've won me over. I thought you meant like the actual act of getting them or the thought of getting them. I was like, why?
Oh,
No. The appreciation of the sort of the surgical business behind it and all that.
Yeah.
And the idea
fact
of
that
it.
Your body like works with it is just like.
Yeah, no, like, I agree.
You can literally like, sorry if this is a bit gross, you can like slice open someone. Yeah. In quite a drastic way and just stitch it back together and the body
it has its limitations, Sarah.
Stitch it back together.
You can't just, for you know.
For all the medical staff out there, like, it takes a lot more than just stitching.
Why did you just...
Put a bit of blue tack in, stick it together, it'd be fine.
Bit of glue. You can glue it as well.
I wouldn't be worried about that guy over there just stitching back together. He'd be good as new. He'd be walking around by the end of the week. I think marzipan is very underrated.
Ooh, that might be controversial.
No, it isn't. It's one of the finest things that we've come up with as human beings. Jesus. And in this country particularly, it's underrated. In parts of Central, Eastern Europe and Northern Europe, other parts, they know their marzipan onions. They know it. You can get it much more freely. In this country, you have to have like a marzipan dealer and do it up an alleyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so frustrating. And I'm not talking about buying a big chunk of it for a cake or something like that. I'm talking about buying like a chocolate bar equivalent of marzipan. It's fantastic stuff. And I don't know why in this country that the marzipan people like me are shunned in this country.
I don't know.
Sarah,
why,
did we talk about this at the weekend?
I was literally thinking, Chris and I were at a wedding last weekend. Oh, yeah. And we were chatting, I think perhaps with one of the leaders of the church that Marcus and I go to, I think you might have been mentioning it, about how you
adore marzipan
and you bring marzipan
is this
back
brother
from
Matt?
Other countries. Yes.
Yeah. He's in on it as well. He's in the... Matt knows.
He's in the gang.
He is. Yeah. In Hungary, for example, you can get these, I assume they're Austrian because they're called Mozart balls.
Yes!
And they're these little chocolate marzipan things. And they are magnificent. And
you're
dealer? He's dealt me and I've dealt him.
Reciprocal arrangement.
Yes,
he gives
exactly.
you a bit of bread and wine, you give him a bit of marzipan.
exactly. My sins are no more, yeah. And his sweet tooth is very much alive. You know, I don't see what the problem is here.
We actually had a few other food-based ones from the listeners, food and drink.
Go on.
Liam says, the humble custard cream.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, I think sometimes we can get, especially in parts of London, you can get sort of a bit sort of bogged down with fancy.
Those flashier ones with the caramel and the faff, which are delicious.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but the custard cream is as relevant today as it's always been.
What is faff on a biscuit then, Sarah?
That's why
don't
I use
answer
work
that, Sarah. Don't yeah, answer that.
My lawyer has advised me not to answer that question. Matt McFerrin says,
ah, Maddie,
a crispy bowl of cornflakes with cold milk and sugar after a long day and missing your dinner.
It's a shame he's put sugar in there.
Yeah, I was going to... Look, if you want sugar, have some Frosties, mate. But apart from that...
A different flavour, to be
I'm
fair.
On board.
I've never known Sarah so decisively dismissive. Have Frosties, mate, all right? Until then, just keep the sugar out of it.
But reading
I do love
that,
cornflakes.
Reading that did make me be like, I want some right now.
Yeah.
Cereals are underrated, I think, the older you get. And then you have a bowl again, you're like, oh, they are good. I forgot about these. Toasted cheese sandwich.
Felt great about it.
I hadn't had a toasted cheese sandwich in about 20 years, and I had one the other day. I was like, they are amazing.
Yeah, but I think they're rated.
They are quite rated.
Are they?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We also had...
Not amongst me in the animal kingdom.
I've got to be honest. I think... I'm pretty sure James Longley was trolling me, because we did an episode back... I think it was March this year, on things that are overrated. And I went on quite a lengthy rant that I think Prosecco is overrated. Uh-huh. And he has responded, gin and Prosecco, it's never gin o'clock enough. Thanks, James. You know my feelings on the matter.
Uh-huh. Can I throw? I'll throw one in the food bracket. Duck meat is underrated.
Fatty.
Exactly.
Very fatty.
Yeah, that's why it tastes good.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Why are you not sure? You never had it, have you?
People are always like, ooh, a duck à l'orange. Ooh, hoisin duck.
Which people? Just like, meh. Who are these people?
The French.
No, I'm not talking about them. They
know food.
They do know food, but I don't know them. So therefore, how can I... God bless them. I love them.
Any
but,
French listeners, we do love you, though.
Well, no, I just think duck meat, it's not that readily available in this country. And if you think about it, it's tastier than some of the other birds. It's presumably not as... I know red meat is obviously a bit of protein and stuff, but sometimes there is a bit of chat now about not having too much red meat. I don't know if duck meat is... I don't think it would be classified as a red meat. It's certainly not red in the way it looks.
Pink.
Anyway, I could be wrong there. You know, work it out for yourself.
Don't see me.
I think duck meat's decent. I just think it's an underrated meat. And I think people don't think of having, oh yeah, we're having, you know, roast potatoes, a bit of broccoli and that, oh, and duck. Like, you never hear that.
I suppose if I said to you, oh, what are you having for tea? And you said, oh, we're going to have, some potatoes, some veg and some duck. I would kind of go, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You chicken stat. Chicken knows where it's in, where it is in our hearts. Turkey's well overrated. I understand why it was used at Christmas, you know, because it was a bigger bird and it could feed more people. But that we've moved
on from
there.
We really need to
there,
get over turkey, don't we?
We
like,
do.
Come on,
ham is magnificent, right? If you don't like ham, then you're wrong. And then I think...
We can go through every protein. Marcus goes, and duck is underrated.
Yeah, Marcus is meat meter.
It's just as well you said that, Chris, because that's essentially what I was going to do.
Yeah.
long-winded, so you've saved us a whole lot of bother there.
But I agree.
Lebanese
with you on
food
duck.
Is underrated as well. Carry on.
If you cook your potatoes around the duck, it's amazing, because obviously you get all the duck fat.
Exactly.
It's like having goose fat at Christmas, but it's duck, same
goose sort of fat, stuff, exactly. Yeah. You're talking now, the Central Europeans among us know exactly what you're talking about there. They love a bit of that, yeah.
All right. You're starting to win me over.
Thanks very much.
All garlic right. bread.
No, that's rated.
That's rated. I
is
rate
it rated?
That.
Of
course it is.
No, if you say garlic bread to someone, they always go, oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of that.
Yeah, but I never think about it when I'm like doing my shop or I'm going out
for dinner.
I think
about garlic bread like, at least once a week.
Oh, okay.
You've got to remember you're talking to Sarah Ann Harris here. Yeah. Hey, dearie
me. At least once a week. I wake up thinking of Frosties and garlic bread.
It's a carb.
Not cornflakes with sugar, you losers.
Come on.
Sarah, anything else from the listeners?
Yeah, tell you what, I'll give you a few more from the listeners.
Uh-huh.
Dan Braithwaite got in touch and he said, rainy days. So I said, care to elaborate? Well, he went on an ode to the rainy day.
Ooh.
He said, it's easily the most relaxing weather. I love the sound of rain falling down outside. Don't get me wrong, I love a sunny day. Obviously, if you're planning a picnic, rain isn't great. But in the autumn, it's to be expected. As long as you're shacked up at home with a blanket and nowhere to be. And he even went as far as, I won't play it for you, because you'll know what it sounds like. He sent us a little recording, literally of the rain outside at that moment. And you know what? He did have me convinced.
The sound of rain can be a wonderful thing.
Oh, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
The key words in Dan's answer there was where you've got nowhere to be.
Yeah.
As soon as you've got somewhere to be, rain is a pain in the bottom.
Well, it is, Chris. But also, if you're indoors and you think, I've got nowhere to be and there's not much on, then rain is probably quite ideal because then you don't think, oh, I should be outside. Mm.
Gets rid of the guilt.
So, I think he's maybe got a point there. You do have to kind of put it into a bit of context. But the sound of rain, but also the smell of rain after a warm day is just wonderful. Wonderful, I tell you, especially on concrete. Ooh, yes. That's up there. Imagine being in like a city far away, like in Kingston in Jamaica, where it's hot and then it rained. Imagine that. Think about that next time when you see the weather forecast and you see some faraway place and it's sunny but rainy and you know it's going to be hot. Think about that. Think of the smell, wherever that may be, those lucky people. Do we have anything else to finish with, Sarah?
Right, I'll run you through the final few.
Here we go.
Tim Bevan says, a perfectly timed essential tactical foul.
I love that, Timo. Love that.
Matt Sledge says, time alone. I'm inclined to agree with that.
Yeah, it kind of goes in with a travelling alone kind of chat.
And
following
on nicely from that, James Hughes said, silence, which we actually did a whole podcast on. So if you haven't listened to it, go back through the archive and you'll find our lovely podcast on silence. And finally, Owen Mayers began by saying, this podcast, obviously.
Thanks. I think.
I think that's a compliment. Yeah. I'm taking it as a compliment.
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't rated it, go and rate it on Apple Podcasts, please. Would love
no
that.
No one wants less than five.
No one wants less than five. But then he said, my real answer, and I'm, again, not sure how I feel about these answers. My real answer is Hot Fuzz, which is his favourite film.
Not seen.
Or Fajitas.
Do love a fajita.
I mean, sure.
Yeah,
I'd say they're like fairly averagely rated.
Yeah, I think they're rated, but it depends though. Because what was his name? Owen.
Owen.
Yeah,
good old Owen. A good old Owen. I think that maybe among his peer group, they obviously slag off fajitas in this podcast a lot. So maybe for him,
He's standing up for us and fajitas.
Exactly.
Or maybe they don't talk about either enough, and he's like, guys, you don't realise how amazing these things
yes.
are.
Yes.
I think that's underrated, isn't it? No one's mentioned it, and it should be mentioned.
Excellent.
At the highest echelons of society.
Yeah.
Fajitas and Acapod.
And Acapod. Chris, you have one to finish on very quickly. Go on. You get the last word.
Saying no with zero guilt.
Ooh.
Okay.
That feels very good.
Yeah. We won't ask for any context there. We'll just
please don't.
We'll just give you
we'll
the benefit
no.
of the doubt, and your good character should cover you there. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to this week's Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get involved, as those good people have in their droves, because we often tweet or Insta out the questions, then at AQQAPod is where we are on Twitter and Insta. So there we are. Do give us a review if you're feeling generous. We do appreciate that greatly. But until next week, thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sarah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, good listeners. See you next week.
To get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.